Now, I'm going to go through a lot tonight real quick, so you'll have to stay with me. I won't keep you long. I really try not to, but I know how you all are. You have a tendency to preach a preacher till the preacher can't hardly keep preaching. And thank God for that. But we know we've got five nights here, and this just starts everything. And I believe God's just going to continue to bless night after night. And I think by the time people respond to those invitations, we've seen years where this has all been full and people sitting up here, we're going to see that again this year. God's going to honor it, and we thank you for what you're doing. You know, there is something in the Bible that we refer to, anyone that has studied the Bible for any amount of time, it is called the law of first mention. And when something is mentioned for the very first time in the Word of God, it carries that theme out, not only through that account, but throughout the Word of God, and also still applies even today. Now, I don't want to scare you because I'm going to preach from three chapters tonight. In the book of the beginnings, which is the book of Genesis. But don't worry, don't be afraid. I'm just going to deal with one event that occurred in three chapters I'll look at. Really, it encompasses four. But it's about the first storm that ever came. And I think it's a lesson for all of us. The world has never been in the condition that it's in right now. Insecurity everywhere, fear around the world. We're hearing all types of things that's happening. And now, even to deal with the storms that we face. This is the first of many storms. There's all kinds of storms. We've all encountered different storms. The thunderstorms and snowstorms. Hurricanes, typhoons and cyclones, tsunamis. That's a word that I never heard of until a few years ago. But you know, it doesn't have to kill but a few thousand people at one time in 15 minutes. And everybody knows what a tsunami is. Storms come. But the good news is, hallelujah, no storm has ever lasted forever. Every storm will come to an end sometime. What a promise that is from the Word of God. Here's the first encounter with a storm. It's a time where God sends destruction to this earth with water. We know that it all starts in Genesis 6. There's a great sermon there in Genesis 6 when He told him how to build the ark. Every preacher in here could just preach on the door alone. Only one door into that ark. What a picture of Jesus Christ. There are not a lot of ways to be saved. There's one way to be saved. Someone told me one time, said, "You're so narrow-minded, you think your bunch is the only ones going to heaven." I said, "I'm more narrow-minded than that. I'm not sure all them going to make it." There are not a lot of ways in. There's one way in. One door. Jesus said, "I am the door." He's the only way to be saved. It's not a thing where you try all kinds of religions and just pick one and hope that it works and we all wind up in the same place. It doesn't work that way. You must be born again. I can't save you. I can't take your sin away. But hallelujah, I know the one that can save your soul and change your life and make you a new creature in Christ, and you'll never be the same again. That door was in the side. One door in the side. What a picture of the side. That's important because it was from Adam's side that the Lord brought forth the first bride. And by the way, when Jesus died and the spear was plunged into His side and forthwith came the water and the blood, there was another bride born. We call that bride the church of the living God. Just one door, and it was in the side. And that door was controlled by the Lord Himself. He shut the doors in the side, and He shut the door. You've got to understand that you're not in control of this thing. You don't get saved when you want to, and you don't put God off and determine that I'll go this long and then I'll be saved. The Lord's in control of this. That's why you need to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. The Word of God says, He's the one that's in control. was in the side, was shut by the Lord. Something else. The Lord sealed the door. Now, think about this for a moment. When he built the ark, he told him, pitch it within and pitch it without. That word pitch is the word, Hebrew word kophar. That means covering. It's the same word that we refer to in the Bible. We call it atonement. What it was the pitch on the inside and the outside. It kept the water on the outside and the people safe on the inside. Kept the world on the outside. Kept them safe on the inside. Thank God we've got a covering. But when the door was shut, if it wasn't sealed, it would have leaked. I'm confident a lot of people got a leak. They get filled up in one revival and it's all run out in 2 weeks. Who sealed the door? It had to be the Lord. The Lord had to seal the door. He's the one that's in control, and He's the one that one day will say, time shall be no more, to give that command. It'll come from the Lord, and the angel cannot speak it until he gives the command of it. All of that happened before the storm. But then the storm came. Boy, this simple as it can be, but this is sweet. Let's look at chapter 7 and verse 1. Because this will tell you what God does in the storm. Chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And God blessed Noah. That's three good things to know in the storm. Number one, that God speaks in the storm. Number two, that God remembers us in the storm. And number three, that God blesses us in spite of the storm. You need to know that the storm is not in control, that God is in control. Well, when God speaks, what does He say? Well, in chapter 7 and verse 1, exactly what He said was this. He said, come thou. Well, that's a good word, come. Why is that so significant, preacher? Well, if I took you home with me tonight, and by the way, I'm not, but if I took you to my house tonight, we pulled in the driveway and I went to the front door, I would open up the door and I'd say, go on in. Because we're on the outside, go on in. But now, if you come to my house next week, ring the doorbell, and I come and answer the door, I'm not going to say, go on in. See, I'm on the inside. And I'd say, come on in. Oh, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Too many people are waiting for God to say, go. And the truth of the matter is, where you're going, He's already at. And that's why He's not going to say go. He's going to say come. You're going to have to come unto Him. If you're heavy laden and you need rest, that word come is a precious word. Oh, Andrew Workman used to preach on the word come. He'd said the C stands for the children to come. The O stands for the old folks to come. The M stands for the middle-aged folks to come. And the letter E stands for everybody. Everybody ought to come. Thank God He has opened up the door that all can come to Him. The invitation to you tonight, if you're on the outside, He's saying, come on in. Then God remembers us in the storm. Isn't it good to know that while we're in the middle of the storm, we're not forsaken? And second of all, God has not failed us. And thirdly, well, bless His name, God has not forgotten us. You know, one of the major concerns that people have in this life as they get older, now, I'm not talking about surveys, I'm talking about true life experience here. I watch folks get older, and I see disease lay hold of their body. And I see the outer man and outer woman begin to decay and get weak and deteriorate. One day I went to the bedside of a preacher friend that I was as close to as any preacher in this world. When I took him by the hand, we talked for a little while. He looked at me and he said, "Cal, 25 years from now, do you think anybody will remember that I was even here?" And I said, "Oh, yes. There'll be people that'll remember. He's been in heaven now about 20 years, and I still remember. But there may come a time that I'll get weary in my mind and not able to remember everything." Talk to someone tonight here in this crowd, and they said their mind just don't allow them to go and retrieve the things they used to retrieve. And a lot of times there's people that they want to remember, but they can't. But might I say this to you? God's never feeble-minded. Age has never touched His mind. He's never been weak. He's never been sick. And He never gets tired. He remembers us when everyone else has forgotten us. When you're somewhere on a bed of affliction and nobody else can reach you, God knows where you're at. When you're halfway around the world and sorrow has come into your life, and no matter how much people love you and they can't reach you, God says, "I have not forgotten you. I remember you. I care for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of this earth." God remembers us. But then God blesses us. Well, that's the introduction. I'm just now to the sermon. I want to warn you, and I mean this. This is a solemn warning from my heart. Whatever you do, don't quit in the storm. Don't give up in the storm. Oh. What I've preached so far is how God goes before us before the storm ever comes. How God is with us when we're in the storm. But there are three things that Noah would not have gotten if he hadn't gone through the storm. Three things that God gave him after the storm. May I remind you, storms don't last forever. But after the storm is over, there's some things that God gives us. Well, what does He give us? Well, in chapter 8 and verse 11, "And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off." You say, "Now, wait a minute. He had a dove before." Yeah, but the dove before, he turned the dove loose. But this time, he wasn't sending the dove out. This time, the dove was coming to him. And by the way, when the dove came to him, the dove had an olive leaf in its mouth. You know what a picture that is in life? Every time you see a dove with an olive leaf in its mouth, it's always a picture of peace. Thank God at the end of the storm, there is peace. Are there times in your life and in your Christian experience and even in your ministry where you think, "Lord, I'd give anything just to have one night of peace. One night where I didn't wake up through the night with all the cares on my mind and burdens on my heart." But you rest assured, at the end of all of it, my friend, God gives us peace. And the peace that He gives us passes our understanding. And the peace that He gives us the world cannot take away. That's the promise from the Word of God. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Thank God there is a deep, abiding peace on the other side.
storm that says after the storm, I've still got peace. I don't always have to have the answer. I don't always have to know how God's going to do it. But I do need His peace. Nothing like the sweet peace that we have in the depths of our soul. That no matter what we're facing, we know the Lord has sent the dove to us. You understand what I'm saying? Last night in the middle of the night, my phone rang. And one of the greatest Christian people I know in this world, reaching more people than anybody I know personally for Jesus, said, I cannot sleep, and the devil is torturing me. Preacher, will you pray for me? I said, of course I'll pray. It started out because I was weary and tired. It started out as words. But somewhere in the middle of that phone conversation and prayer together, God sent the dove. And the more I shouted, the more they shouted. And pretty soon all of our talk and prayer gave way to the sweet abiding peace. Finally I hear a small voice on the other end say, I'm going to bed and going to sleep like a baby tonight, preacher. There's sweet peace. Thank God for the peace that the Lord gives us. A lot of you, you've got legitimate concerns. You have loved ones that's serving our nation on foreign fields in harm's way day after day. You've got loved ones that have strayed from God. Children that are addicted to drugs. Family members that are unsaved that you can't seem to reach them. And you're burdened night after night and day after day. But oh Lord, after the storm, I'm glad to know the heavenly dawn, the blessed Spirit of God comes to give us peace. Not only did the dove come, but in verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Now this altar was different than what most altars were. See, the altar was the meeting place with God. Altars were built to offer the sacrifice for forgiveness of sin. But Noah wasn't building the altar for that reason. He said, Lord, You took me through the storm and You gave me peace. So I want to just give up something in sacrifice to praise You. I'm going to take something that's valuable. I mean, let's face it, where did the sacrifice come from? Had to be an animal that He cared for on that ark, that had gone through the storm with Him. An animal, you can't live with animals like that and not get attached to it. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I've seen some of you at the Dairy Queen. You take a lick of your ice cream cone and give your dog a lick. Go ahead and laugh if you want to, but you get attached. You don't think you get attached, you do. And here he was, oh, do you hear what I'm saying? Here he was taking something that he loved and was attached to now and offering that in sacrifice, not as an act of cruelty, but as an act of worship and praise to God. Can I tell you, folks, it's easy to praise God until it costs you something. But sometimes right in the face of the enemy, you've got to bow down before God and say, Lord, I offer You the sacrifice of the praise of my lips. And I think if there's anything that is missing in the church world today, it is the fact that we have gotten over what we got under through grace, and we go to the place that we forget what God has brought us from and what He's brought us into and where He's taking us to. And the end result is we stop praising God the way we should. a week ago Sunday on the front row of our church. A godly little mother had battled cancer 4 or 5 years before. And they said then the cancer was a death sentence. And God spared her life. That Sunday she come from PET scans and CAT scans, one doctor after another, and they said the cancer is back. But there she sat, the whole front row were her family. And right in the middle of all of it, I mean the first song that we sang, she was on her feet with her hands lifted right straight up toward heaven, tears blistering her cheek. And I heard her say, while I was sitting on the pulpit there, looking back, I heard her say, "Lord, I love you more than I've ever loved you before." Now here you are with a healthy body. We've got a little gal in our church that she's in a wheelchair. Her mom and dad have to care for her constantly. And it is unbelievable. This girl can't walk. She hasn't been able to walk. And she can hardly communicate, but she can send little emails now, write little notes. She wrote a note to me not long ago. And she said, "I know I'd get carried away in church." And she does. She really does. She said, "But sometimes when they get to singing about heaven, and I think about not having to sit in this wheelchair any longer," she said, "something gets inside of my heart that I just have to praise God for what He's going to do." There's folks here tonight that God's blessed you with a good life and a strong body and been good to you, and you haven't lately taken the time to stop and praise Him and say, "Lord, if it wasn't for you, I don't know where I'd be or what I'd be doing. I thank you, God, that you took my sin away. I thank you, Lord, that I know I'm on my way to heaven. And best of all, I thank you, Lord, that you love me, and I know I can't make it without you. And Lord, may all my days be filled with praise for what you have done." I got a preacher friend down south several years ago. He called me and said, "Pray for my child." Said the devil has attacked us and they're concerned that my little 5-year-old has a heart disease that's incurable and they're going to go into a heart cath tomorrow. They asked the doctor to explain to that child what a heart catheterization was. So the doctor sat down and said, "Sweetheart, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make it a little tiny incision. We're going to make a little cut. We're going to run a wire inside of your body, all the way up inside your heart." And said, "That way we can see everything in your heart." She said, "Everything?" He said, "Everything." And she said, "That's great." I said, "No, sweetheart, you don't understand. This is serious." She said, "No, this is great." The doctor looked at the parents and shrugged his shoulder. The next day, they ran the heart catheterization, and the child was just coming out of the mild anesthesia. And the doctor patted the child and said, "You okay, sweetheart?" And the child looked up and said, "Is it done?" Said, "Yes, it's all done." Said, "Did you run that wire up into my heart?" "Yes." Said, "Did you see Jesus in there? He lives there, you know." But we get to thinking about a God that created this universe living inside of our heart. As unworthy as we are, I think we've got something to praise God for. He's brought us all through some storms, things that should have taken us under. But God saw us through. And then there's one other thing. Chapter 9 and verse 13. The Lord said, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. If it wasn't for the storm, it was after the storm that he got peace. It was after the storm. After the storm was over, we find praise. But also, it was after the storm that God gave him a promise. Oh. See, you can't have a rainbow without the sun and the storm. I know the storms come, and I know how hard they are. But might I remind you, the sun is always shining on the other side of the storm. His light never goes out and His glory never grows dim. He's always right on the other side of the storm. And one day, the ark's going to land on the mountains of Ararat. Boy, I read that. I got blessed. You know what the word Ararat means? The curse is reversed. That's what the word means. The curse is reversed. One of these days, the Lord is going to say, you're going to sit down on the mountains of glory, and the curse will be reversed. And then in that day, God said, I've given you a token. What is a token? The word token means the proof of a purchase. How important that is. It's your receipt, friend. It means it's just a little bit of what really the whole thing is. It says with all assurance, this belongs to you. Here is the token. I'm glad God gives us a little heaven to go to heaven in. Thank God He's given us the token, the seal, the covenant, the promise of God. And without that, where would we be? A pilot friend of mine told me one time, he heard me preach on the rainbow, and he said, Cal, do you know from the earth you can only see half the rainbow? And he said, pilots love to look at rainbows. These enormous jets. Said, because even we can't see all of it. But he said, the higher you go, the more you can see. John said he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. They sent him there to drive him insane. They knew that he was all alone. And he said, but it was the Lord's day and I was in the Spirit of the Lord. And he said, suddenly, I feel preaching coming on. He said, suddenly, I heard the voice as of many waters. And he said, I turned and saw him. His hair was as white as the driven snow, and his eyes were as a burning fire. And he said, I fell on his feet as though I was dead. And he picked me up and said, John, write, for these things are true and faithful. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. And after he got John on his feet, he said, come up hither. I want to show you something up a little higher. And John kept going higher. And he said, finally, I saw the throne. And there, round about the throne, was a rainbow. He finally saw the entire rainbow. Now, I know part of the covenant, but one of these days, the promise will be fulfilled. And I'll understand all of it when finally I'm in His presence and see the King on the throne. Some of you are saying, Lord, why'd you let this curse come? Why'd you let this problem come? Why have you sent this trial into my life? Some of you tonight are not serving the Lord because you watch somebody go through a horrible storm. And the devil convinced you God didn't love them. I hear that constantly. If God loves people, why are babies born blind? Why do people get sick? Why do people die? May I remind you, God didn't create it that way. God didn't make it like that. He's trying to get us back to a place where we'll see the entire rainbow. When I was just a boy, my grandmother, my dad's mom, she loved to sew things. She worked with needlepoint. She's constantly knitting, doing all kinds of things. I remember one time I was at their house. She was sitting in the chair, and I was at her feet, and I looked up, and she had this big piece of fabric. And when I looked up, I saw all these tangled, multicolored threads just jumbled up. And I looked up and said, "Grandma, what are you doing? That's a mess. What are you doing?" She just bent over and picked me up and said, "Child, come up here." Set me down on her lap. And she said, "Take a look at it now." See, she could see the pattern. On the other side, all I could see was the jumbled mess between what she was doing, where I was at. I couldn't get a clear view of all of it. But you understand a lot of things you don't know about right now, and you think, "God, why am I going through this? And why has this happened to me?" In a little while, He's going to bend down, pick us up and say, "Child, come on up here and look at it from this side." I think when you get up here and take a look at all of it, you'll see it a lot different then. Thank God He knows what He's doing. Trust Him. And there's some things that you won't get until after the storm.